We start this hour with that dire climate study published today, warning that extreme wildfires, droughts, and floods around the world will only get more severe in the next 30 years, and that that's unavoidable unless there's big change in a small window of time. The report by the UN-backed Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change says that the only way to avoid further climate catastrophe is by cutting emissions by the middle of this century in an act of planet-wide cooperation. Rachel Cletus is Policy Director and Lead Economist for the Climate and Energy Program at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Rachel, you and others have said this day would come. It's here. So how is this report hitting you today?
I have to say it's really a sobering report, and one feels a combination of just utter rage that scientists have not been listened to, even though they've been issuing these warnings for decades, and a great deal of grief for the impacts that are already here and now. We see them in the wildfires right now burning in Greece and California. It's very sobering.
And, you know, jaw-dropping in many ways, but things we knew would happen. Start with the emissions that these experts are talking about. How fast do they have to be reduced? What are they? How do they have to be reduced?
Well, the IPCC is not a policy prescriptive body, and this is actually a fairly conservatively worded report. The summary for policymakers, for example, doesn't even mention the word fossil fuels. But we all know from what the report says that if we are to have even a fighting chance of limiting these severe climate impacts, we're going to have to get to net zero emissions no later than mid-century. And that's not through loopholes. It's not through continuing to double down on fossil fuel infrastructure. That requires deep, absolute emission cuts. It requires a sharp turn away from our dependence on fossil fuels for energy and a sharp turn towards cleaner forms of energy, renewable energy.
Can it include things like carbon capture so that if you are emitting, you know, carbon dioxide, there's a way to capture it and turn it back into the ground or something like that?
So just to be clear, this report is not the one that talks about the solution set, but we know what that solution set is. We've known it for decades. And the primary component of it is renewable energy. It is true that we may not be able to get all the way to our climate goals just by that switch. We might need to rely on so-called carbon sinks that are absorbing carbon. We might need to rely on some technological means, but that is really the edges of our solution set. The core solution set is very clear. It is renewable energy. It is energy efficiency, and it's a sharp turn away from fossil fuels.
Or what? I mean, what does the report say will happen?
Well, some of the very sobering information in the report has to do with so-called tipping points that we're getting closer to. And these include things like a loss of large ice sheets, which we're already starting to see in the Arctic and in Greenland, which is setting off multi-century sea level rise, which many, many places around the world, including places right here like Boston and countries like Bangladesh, small island nations, we have a lot of people, property, infrastructure in coastal areas that are low-lying and are going to be susceptible to flooding from the sea level rise. The other thing is extreme heat. We've had record-breaking heat waves here in the U.S. this summer. June was the hottest on record for the contiguous U.S. It points out that these kind of extreme heat waves will get much worse in the future. And unfortunately, we've already locked in some of this because of our current and past emissions. But we do still have choices. And sharply cutting our emissions is our best opportunity to stave off the worst of these impacts. Mm-hmm.
What would be the first thing you would tell world leaders? Because this has to be a worldwide effort.
Well, I think we're at a point now where we simply cannot afford any further delay in action. And by action, we don't mean incremental, small change kind of actions. We need transformative change. And we need to work in global cooperation with other countries. The U.S. and China, for example, leading emitters of carbon emissions, we have to work together so that all of us are moving in this direction. And we have to make this happen within this decade. Because what this report also points out is that our opportunity, our small, slim path to keep that fighting chance of keeping global average temperatures to 1.5 C or 2, that path We could lose it within this decade if we fail to act. And the final piece, these climate impacts are taking a horrific toll on communities who have often contributed the least to the problem. This is a very unjust, inequitable impact that's being had around the world. And so we have to make sure that as we're making this sharp turn to cleaner energy, we're also investing in climate resilience. And richer nations like the U.S. have an obligation to help other countries make that climate resilient, low-carbon transition as well.
Rachel Cletus, Policy Director and Lead Economist for the Climate and Energy Program at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Pretty sobering. Thank you.
Thank you so much.